We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. You heard Joe Maddon there talking about why they didn't use Brandon Morrow. It's just always a worry when you don't use your closer,
yeah.
But you can't use them all the time. And
C-Shack did just well, just fine and well for last night.
And so did C.J. Edwards. I mean, the whole bullpen reacting well. And you heard Rick Hahn, they've called off the timeline, Brian. It was only in your head.
Not only do you have to see them at Chicago, you have to see them in the play Chicago.
And they... and they've got to augment them with some Broadway star.
And
I don't know.
And all that jazz.
Lance Broadway. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's rough for the White Sox these days, my friend. It's a tough one.
Well, the Barrister Sox fan is out there. Marty's in Highland Park. Good morning, Marty.
Brian, I got to say, you and I go back to the beginning of the score, and you are the smartest guy on that station. I'm going to follow you wherever you go, so... I'm looking forward to listening to you for years to come. I just want
well,
you to
I appreciate that.
That,
but as long as Mike and Bernsey are here, I don't think I'm the first in that line. But I appreciate the sentiment. Thank you.
Well, I'm hoping for Scott Ruffcorn to make an appearance soon.
Rosenblum's going to use that on one of his Sunday columns. What's up, Scott Ruffcorn?
Well, what I told you when they started this rebuild, I called in and I said, you don't do a rebuild with the guys who got you into this mess in the first place. You do what the Cubs did. You clean house. You bring in a whole group of young geniuses. Rick Hahn was there for years. Kenny Williams is still there. And we're seeing the fruits of that mistake right now.
Marty, you're not buying that Rick Hahn finally took over?
No, because he was part of the problem to begin with.
And Kenny went to Stanford.
And he didn't go to the Blue Jays. That's what Marty was hoping, yeah. Thanks, Marty. So, yeah, I mean, look, that's a bigger conversation. If you don't believe in the architects of said rebuild, then you've got, you know, all sorts of issues. If you don't trust the people making the deals and doing the drafting and doing the developing, then you know, you're not going to be on board with any of it, right?
Yeah, I mean... They picked the lane, right? They went kind of bouncing around from year to year, trying to bring in some kind of power hitter. The World Series, in a way, seemed kind of crazy. And then you come off that and you made a bunch of different moves and you wound up trying to somehow, you know, Gentleman Jim comes in first and you thought that was going to work. You need a power hitting left-hander, Adam Dunn, that era, oh my God, how could it get worse? Well, here comes Adam LaRoche, here comes Drake. I mean,
anyone named Adam? Yeah.
Just silliness. It just became kind of an embarrassment. And Chris Sale seemed in the final year to be embarrassed, didn't he? Didn't he ultimately seem like he, you know, just was embarrassed by the whole thing and wearing the uniform or whatever it was and the whole nonsense of you know, what was the Adam Eaton line that our leader left? We lost our leader and Drake?
I mean, stuff you could never even put to paper and say that would come out of anyone's mouth, but there it was.
Most grown men don't bring their son to work with them, and when they do, they don't usually chase him around, but... That's what happens. I you know, I'd love to have Johnny here with me now, and I just chase him around the studio. It would be so much fun, but I'm not sure that would help the program. We'll have to try it during the break. What are you going to do, Brian? I mean, you're looking at a situation with the White Sox where they had to pick a lane. They picked a lane. They had a jump start on it because of the talent they had at the major league level, and unfortunately, they had been using all of their minor leagues to kind of people other teams and to get their roster with guys that were just quick solutions. And None of it worked.
It really does feel like, you know, start the show with Southside Ron, one of the most optimistic longtime Sox fans we know, saying that he's done, you know, his faith is really shaken, and he doesn't think it's, you know, the timeline is certainly not 2 years. He doesn't, you know, he's really in despair here. And Mully, the text screen is, boy, one after another, kind of making fun of the Sox, but it's seemingly from Sox fans, you know, talking about the MLB's going to just have a Sox slaughter rule if they're down by 8 after 3 or 10 after 5 or whatever. It just seems like we're at some sort of crossroads here where even the ones who might have been at Sox Fest telling Rick Hahn we're all on board are now just bored and wondering. And it brings me back to the Cubs rebuild, but there was a big difference there. You know, it was Anthony Rizzo and a bunch of guys just filling uniforms. I mean, guys you weren't expecting to be around when the Cubs were going to get good. And it just seems like maybe that's the frustration. The baseball was unpalatable for me as a Cubs fan to watch. I couldn't stomach three innings of it back, you know, how many years ago. You turn on the TV, you're like, why am I doing this to myself? It's not Major League Baseball. And now it seems like with the Sox, everyone's kind of reaching that point. Maybe it's midseason doldrums, but you thought, okay, they might lose their, you know, we had some people making case they were a 500 team going into the season, and that was wildly optimistic, if not delusional. But the over-under in Vegas was, what, 68 games? And we were debating which side of was the bet, you know, the smart bet. But it's just more frustrating now that you're getting clobbered because some of the guys who are getting clobbered, whether it's starting pitching or inconsistent position players, that's the frustrating part, that you're not playing. When you lose to the Astros the other night, and that's a quality loss because you look like you really should have won that game against the hottest team in baseball, you know, you get encouraged, but that's once a month, right? And then you have five times a week, you have just an embarrassment of, you know, do they even belong on the field with most teams? So it just seems like today it's really the low ebb for Sox fans' enthusiasm about anything, as you've been saying, because the injuries in the minor leagues and the poor play at the major leagues, and, you know, what are you hanging your hat on right now?
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Mike Rodolfo, that news came as a great shock to me that he has to have Tommy John surgery, nor does it change my opinion of the rebuild. But it's one thing after another, after another, after another. It's giving a contract to Avi Garcia. Oh, guess what? Not only did the hamstring go out before, but I think it might have gone again. We're going to put him on the 10-day DL. And then, oh, here's another prospect gone. When the Cubs were awful, when you were going through this torment of whether or not they were going to be good, you could go online and watch Chris Bryant hit home run after home run after home run. He could put on a show for you in the minor leagues. And we thought we'd get that with Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's not happening either. Yeah. So as we said.
Yeah, NBC Sports Chicago was actually scheduling Charlotte Knights games and Winston-Salem games to give you that taste of the future, because frankly, more people probably want to tune into those games than the Major League Ball Club.
And it's just hard to get on board when all of your picks, all of your guys are injured. Again, half of, you know, the Sox have this unbelievable list of guys that are in the top, whatever, the third best organization in baseball. They got all these guys. Half of the top 15 are out with some kind of injury. A few of those injuries seem pretty severe. And there is nothing to look at from, you know, listen, they had 18 All-Stars in one league and in another. I mean, they have a lot of young talent, and hopefully it's still on the way. But it's just a blow on a day like today when you see Avi go down. That, and again, oh, he's got the 2-year deal. Don't worry. We can trade him. We'll get a lot for him. Yeah, it's okay. We got to have a couple of good players because we're going to trade him. Hey, Abreu is an all-star. What do you get for a struggling all-star that's in the worst slump of his career at the trade deadline at a position that people don't want?
Well, there's that. Yeah, it's just a short phone call, isn't it?
It feels like it's all getting it up.
Okay, here's a guy who said, I was at the game last night, totally don't get gloom and doom. This is what a rebuild looks like. Maybe 2 to 4 guys who matter on the current roster. Here's another guy. Was at the game last night. We can't get a catcher to catch the ball or a pitcher to throw the ball, even to the plate before it bounces. So I talk about differing perspectives. I mean, it's unbelievable. One after the other.
I guess, look away and wait is the answer, right? Look away and cough is the answer at this point. But
Mike's on the south side. He wants to weigh in.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, ultimately, you know, you – Jerry Reinsdorf is really the Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf, because, you know, Jerry's getting up there now. I mean, really, they're the common denominator. Their loyalty to the architects for both of the franchises that they run, the White Sox and the Bulls, you know, the one caller was right, is they're having trust in the guys that are building, the teams is, you know, very disparaging at this point. And the challenge is that it's the Reinsdorfs who have this just unmitigated loyalty to their management and who haven't been successful, you know, for years and years and years. I mean, John Paxson and Gar Forman, just incredibly unsuccessful. I mean, we need to move away from them, from the Bulls. And then Kenny and Rick, you know, with the White Sox, once again, guys that have been there and have had ample opportunity to try to build the franchises up the right way and just don't seem up to the task.
Well, Michael has nothing to do with the White Sox, right?
No, I hear what you're saying about him with the Bulls.
I get that. But you know, I will say this, Brian. It is nothing but fun when you have watched a guy through his playing career and then he becomes the manager of the team and he knows all of the – he knows, as you do, all of the grudges and all of the old stories, and he ends up winning a World Series. There's nothing quite like that, to be able to follow players
Be emotionally invested in them because you always have been.
That's magical. But the downside of it is when you feel like loyalty to one is outweighing loyalty to all. And I don't know that I'm there yet. I don't know that I believe that yet, but you know, it's a conversation worth having at some point because Marty's right. You know, when it came time for the Cubs rebuild, they went out and they hired the number one guy that can do that sort of thing. They got the best guy out there. They let him assemble his team and they got out of the way. This is a little bit different feel. Not saying it can't work, not saying it's going to fail, not saying that I've given up hope on it, but it's a little bit different than the guy with the track record that you feel is the smartest guy, not only in the room, but in the game.
Right.
And that is, that tests your faith. I can understand.
And even that guy, Theo, is on a bad run right now. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Every move he's made since going back to Justin Wilson, certainly, you know, if we don't want to have the Quintana conversation yet, but the Wilson and then, you know, the Tyler Chatwood and Yu Darvish. I mean, all these things have not turned out anywhere close to what they had hoped or Cub fans had hoped. And yet they're persevering and they're pushing on, but they're on a bad run when it comes to making some pretty major decisions.
You really want to throw Q in there because then that gets you Hayward too. And I don't know, maybe that one worked out okay. 312-644-6767. Maybe both those moves work out okay, Brian. Let's not rush to judgment. We are going to bring in Bigsy. We're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk to Bigsy, and we'll ask him. Everybody knows the consensus most important player is Mitchell Trubisky. But who's next? If you're putting together that team in that season, who do you need to be the step-up guy if it's not Mitchell Trubisky, and it has to be him? But who would follow him? Let's ask that question of Bigsy next. It's Mully and Hanley. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to this program, and a dear, dear personal friend. Bigsy!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we've been talking about the Bears a little bit as we get ready for the countdown to training camp, and just teased a question for you. The idea, of course, is Mitchell Trubisky as the end-all, be-all. He is the most important man on this team. Who comes second? Who's going to be the person that decides the fate of this team, this organization, this year? Of course, it's Trubisky, but next to him.
Well, I think that's an interesting question, and you could probably go a number of different directions with it and not be wrong. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. The guy that I think, you know, for them to really have a shot to become the team they hope to be in 2018 and 2019, the guy that I would select would probably be Leonard Floyd. And in saying that, recognizing that he hasn't gotten there yet to being the second most important player on the roster, but if he can achieve that, you know, level of significance and importance to what they're doing, they'll really have something going on in terms of the pass rush and what they can do defensively. Leonard has missed 10 games in his first two seasons, so availability has been a little bit of an issue, and the production has probably been up and down, I think is a fair way to describe it for him. But you know, when he's out there, he looks good. He's got to stay out there, and he's got to take the next step. I don't think that he quite accomplished that last year before that fluky knee injury when he had the collision with teammate Kyle Fuller.
You know, Big Z, a lot of players keep their personal goals to themselves, and they have their list, their mental list, or some actually write it out. And when you hear Prince Amukamara talk about a 10-pick season, then that's a goal. You know, now you know, those words can come back and bite him in the rear end if he doesn't come anywhere close to that. But I guess the question is, with Kyle Fuller now being paid and with the you know, Prince being here long-term.
And Prince got money, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, can the back end of the defense do – can they kind of – if you're still waiting on Leonard Floyd and maybe some of the things going on up front, can they be the kind of dictating force on the defense while you wait on the pass rush?
Well, they're going to have to be good, no question about that. And the pass rush, while they didn't have a standout guy last year, they were all right last year rushing the passer. You know, it was sort of the strength of the unit was in the hole. One of those types of deals. They had more sacks for a Bears defense in 2017 than they had in any season since going all the way back to 2001 when they were the NFC Central champions in the final season of the NFC Central. Can the secondary be that defining force? I don't know. I think you want to see Kyle Fuller maintain that level of play. We've seen a little bit of everything with Kyle Fuller in his career, and he has been paid now, and he was very, very good last year. Let's see him repeat that. Let's see him improve on that. Let's see what Prince can do. Yeah, a lot of guys won't talk, you're right, about their personal statistical goals, and some guys will share them. I will say that Prince has probably got a better shot at 10 picks this season than Alonzo Spellman had back in the day when asked what his goal for the season was, and he said he wanted high double-digit sacks, so guessing that's somewhere 99. In the 85 to
87.
99
range. Yeah. I was standing there when he said that.
High double-digit sacks.
That's right.
Wait, yeah. Can't make that stuff up,
No, you can't invent that. But I think it's a great answer that you gave to that question, because I'm not sure, as much as we like to talk about the improvement of that secondary a year ago, and it improved dramatically, to use a made-up word, I think that a pass rush will aid the secondary as much as the secondary helps the pass rush. And in fact, I think Leonard Floyd is the answer, because if that guy can have a Pro Bowl-type season, that will allow, that will mean double-digit sacks, and that will allow the whoever's on the other side to be able to attack the quarterback better. I think they'll have a nice push in the middle if they could get somebody that cleans up on the outside. And again, his speed, you know, he did a very good job, not even talking about sacks or anything like that, but just being able to clean up things if a quarterback is mobile, if somebody's breaking out of the pocket. He is a very valuable player, and from that standpoint, he's the only real speed rusher on this in this group with any sort of resume. So if he can be that guy, that would be my answer to that question too, Brad. That makes not only the opposite side easier and takes away from the double team possibilities elsewhere, but it makes that secondary significantly better.
Yeah, no question about it. And the secondary was probably the unit that everyone had the most questions about at this time a year ago. They were getting ready for the season, and they had signed a couple of free agents, and you were wondering, you know, where's Marcus Cooper? How's Prince going to play? And Fuller was an afterthought at this time last July, based on him having missed the entire 2016 season. So they certainly feel a lot better about the secondary. Eddie Jackson was preparing for his rookie year at this time last season or last summer, and Eddie was pretty impressive as a rookie, and I think you're looking for bigger and better things right. from him as well in year two.
We have a texter saying his second most important player is Kyle Long, because if he's not healthy, then the O-line takes a huge hit. Does it? Or you now, you know, you have some depth there. You have
you got Harry.
Yeah.
They've shown us that they can replace
right.
the guard position last year and the year before. I think everybody wants to see Kyle Long come back, be healthy, and have a productive season and be out there for 16 games. But it's not like Trubisky was ransacked a year ago because they were missing guys on the offensive line. And they've run the ball effectively the last 2 years. I would I tend to disagree with that.
It's going to be a ton of fun to see what they do with the tight end position, you know, obviously going out and getting Trey Burton. But they've invested heavily in that position without getting
Huge.
The same sort of payoff. You know, Shaheen being a high draft pick, I don't know what his future is. And, of course, Deion Sims is making like $4.6 million as a third-string tight end or a – what is he?
Well, I think Deion right now is probably, you know, more of more of the number two until we see Shaheen's yeah. role expanded. And Deion's in year two of an $18 million three-year contract. Mm. So he's doing just fine for himself. He is going to pull down some pretty good money this year. That's why I think there were some pretty significant questions about him in early March and his status on the roster, but they kept him around. So, yeah, they've probably invested more than any team in the league at that position when you combine the money spent with Burton and Sims and then the draft pick, the capital that you're putting into a guy like Adam Shaheen, who's taken in what it was about the middle of the second round last year. So yeah. that's going to be interesting to see how those guys are deployed in training camp, kind of what the Bears show in preseason with those guys, because you can't sit on everything you're going to do during the season in preseason. You've got to practice it a little bit before you roll it out in the regular season.
Will Tariq Cohen's role grow with the offensive-minded head coach, or will they, you know, if you try to give the gadget back too much, you end up losing his effectiveness?
I think it'll expand a little bit, and people were clamoring for him to get more and more last year. But when you step back and take a look at the big picture of what they had going on, he was playing running back. He was playing slot receiver. He was lined up out wide as a wide receiver. He was on punt return. He was on kick return. So for a rookie who was coming from a lower level of college football, this kid had a ton on his plate, and everyone wanted to see him used as the third down back. And Benny Cunningham, I thought, did certainly more than serviceable job in that role. And the issue that I think most people that were clamoring to see Cohen play on third down didn't address was if he misses a guy blitzing on a certain play and your quarterback gets blown up, then what? You know, because that's the number one thing that guy's got to be ready to handle as a third down back, and that's the pass protection assignments and keep the quarterback upright. So if you're 5'6", 179-pound rookie misses some 250-pound guy coming off the edge, you know, again, then John Fox and Dow Loggins are, you know, the biggest failures in town if they've got the number two overall pick hurt. So with more experience now, he's a little bit bigger. I think there's a chance he gets folded in to that role some. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he's used, because it wasn't like there was a shortage of ways that they looked to get him the ball.
a year ago. And then he's got to be a little bit better with it, too. He hit some home runs, but there were, I think everybody can recall, a couple times in almost every game where there's a short play there. Maybe there's a 3 or 4 yard gain, and he tries to turn it into a 24 yard gain, and it ends up going for a short loss or no gain. And he's got to get a little bit better. It's sometimes you've got to take the profit and understand that the home run might not be there. You don't want to take his aggressiveness away, but there were too many plays that he wound up stacked up right at the line of scrimmage or very close to it.
Great talking to you, Brad. Very exciting time of year as you get going here, and we'll be keeping in touch. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care, Brad.
That is Brad Biggs, football man from the Chicago Tribune, and let's get to Joe with a scoreboard update. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Can I tell you that we're running? I've seen commercials for the Happy Together tour. It's
yeah.
like the lead singer, the guy who's got the drum kit from the Turtles, and
yes.
it's like all these bands from forever ago. This really has that kind of tone to it. That kind of Happy Together '60s.
Yes,
sugar
well,
pop.
It's from the 90s. It was kind of a 1996 release by the Lightning Seeds and some comedians called Three Lions. It's everywhere here. Everywhere. It's all they're playing because coming home is the whole theme of the World Cup for the English.
Then you just place in the highlights as you hear there.
Because they won it the one time in 1966. But God bless them. Oh, this is the 2006 version. It started, believe me, in 1996, I think. They just keep updating it or whatever. They keep playing the song and hoping. And it's I mentioned to you that obviously I'm here in England, and it will be England against Croatia today. I was reading a story, Brian, in the Daily Star this morning, and the story is about Croatians that you should dislike. I mean, that's the implication that I take from it. England will meet Croatia in the semifinal. Do they have any other famous people other than Luka Modric is basically the story. I laughed out loud because it's our buddy. John Malkovich was born in Illinois, U.S., but his grandparents were from Croatia.
Really?
They've got a little thing here about, like a whole little thing about Malkovich, who, of course, we interviewed, implying that he somehow will be against England. I don't know. Eric Bana, is another actor with Croatian ties. Is the guy, he was in the Hulk movie, Black Hawk Down.
I said Bannon, like the guy on Seinfeld.
Bana. Bana.
Bana.
And then they have a thing. I have not heard about Chris Novoselic, the former Nirvana bassist. They have a picture of him with Dave Grohl. I mean, poor Dave Grohl now is an enemy of the people, and that's just by association.
So these are the most famous Croatians they could
come
up with?
This is according to this story I'm reading in England.
I mean, I'll buy John Malkovich, but it's his ancestors, really. It's not John Malkovich, right? So it's like...
They say other notable players with Croatian backgrounds include Daniel Bilos, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Diego Maradona. What's the Croatian connection there? And Christian Pulisic, the great American player, is from a Croatian background. So Christian Pulisic is the young teenage American star that unfortunately is not able to make the World Cup because the U.S. fell apart. Brian, I read somewhere that Fox, their ratings in America, down 40%.
Yeah, it started bad and it got worse. Again, don't have a team to – and I was talking about
you
this –
You don't have a Malkovich to hate.
Well, we were talking about this the other day. I think it was after the show yesterday. It's like I was just talking to some of the guys, our producers and such, and Ray Diaz said he watched last World Cup because the United States was in it. I certainly – really immersed myself into it, and Ireland was in it. And Mully, yeah. you and I talked about this before the tournament. It's when you don't really have a rooting interest,
yeah.
you don't really kind of, you don't get involved early, and then you don't get involved, period, perhaps. And that seems to be how the ratings have trended.
It should be fun. I mentioned to you that I will be in Paris on Sunday when they have the World Cup final and France is in it. And I said to you that I'd be off in the Champs-Élysées with the rest of the fans. Well, I was just looking at a video of the riot police setting off tear gas amid the crowd that was celebrating on the Champs-Élysées. I think maybe I'll take a pass.
Bring your mask, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll go have a drink
in
the Ritz
and here
while,
you go.
While the Germans march in.
You've ignited the tech zone with famous Croatians. Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, same guy, right?
They don't know them here in America.
Same guy. Pete Carroll, Tony Kukoc.
Okay, what about Diego Maradona? How in the hell does he have a Croatian connection? That must be wrong.
Occasionally, I'll order the Croatian omelet.
Yeah. you do order the Croatian
omelet.
Well,
no, omelet. I didn't. I actually ordered what would most commonly be known as a Greek omelet. It was spinach, feta, and bacon, and someone down at Wildberry decided to put Croatian on it.
I think the Greek omelet has some olives in it, maybe. That's probably
not when I order it, it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. That's why you order. It turns out you've been ordering the Croatian omelet all these years.
Maybe they straightened me out because she wrote right on the plastic cover Croatian or Croat. She couldn't even be bothered to write the complete name out. It was just C-R-O-A-T.
Those last two letters are exhausting.
Yeah.
Why give yourself a cramp in your hand if you don't have to? So anyway, it's a big deal here. There's all sorts of watch parties. It'll be fun. I'm going to be, unfortunately.
But you are going to Paris either way, right?
Either way, I'm going to. Well, it doesn't matter because France already won.
Right.
France is one team. So it would be awesome if it was France against England. There's a lot of bad blood going back, really, a long time.
For bigger issues.
Maybe they'll shut down the channel over the whole thing.
Oh,
you
boy.
Never know. A lot going on here, Brian. I don't know if you follow the English political scene, and I don't. But the Brexit stuff has hit the wall, and I think half the cabinet is retired or resigned. I mean, a lot of people leaving the government. Theresa May is the prime minister. She probably could be, I was told, out of office by the end of the week, maybe. A lot of good stuff happening, and Donald Trump on the way, too. So I was reading that they've got two things going in honor of the president. There's going to be some giant zeppelin of a pig
that will float
over because I guess the London mayor doesn't like him, and so they approve that. And then there are also other politicians calling for protests, so it's a mess. It's time to get out of England, obviously not
tonight.
Well,
let's celebrate something nice. And we kind of went halfway down the road yesterday, but Ray Diaz, one of our fine producers on this great show, got engaged to his lovely now fiancée, Jessica. And yes. And so after a couple years of dating, they are tying the knot at a date to be determined. But Ray was just over the moon yesterday coming in and giving that information out. And, of course, Bernsey immediately called it the Mexicutioner and the Mexicutioner's mate. So that kind of put a damper on the...
He ruined it. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
That's what he does.
He just takes
it. He destroyed Loyola's Final Four run.
Yeah. Anytime there's something nice and you want to celebrate it, he just brings it down to whatever it is that he did. But anyway,
did Ray tell you how he popped the question?
They went to the Lincoln Park Conservatory, right? And I said, well, was that something out of the norm? Was she kind of, was the antenna up wondering what you're doing? And Ray, you said, nope.
Oh, yeah. I had the element of surprise working for me. So she didn't expect it at all. She thought it was just a nice day at the Lincoln Park Conservatory and totally took her by surprise. And she said yes. So
that's the only way to get it done because she panicked and said yes. Otherwise, you might be in trouble. That's kind of what I did.
I had to do it in front of a crowd of people.
There you go. Shame her into marrying you. It's the only way to
get it
done.
Did you get down on one knee, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look at you. Gosh, Ray. Congratulations.
Such class. I know.
It's the best move I ever made, getting married, and I would highly recommend it. I know there are people out there that have been unhappily married and feel they made a mistake. And I had a friend actually sincerely tell me, friends don't let friends get married. But I've been very fortunate. It's gone the other way for me, and I would highly recommend it.
What's the old line when a guy introduces his fourth wife to you? You don't think about what's wrong
with
the women?
You don't wonder what was wrong with the first three.
Yeah. There's a common denominator there, yeah.
That's the old joke. But, yeah, I mean, there are, and let's be fair, there are some people that are in love with love, and they just want to constantly get married and keep it going. And I know that supposedly half of all the marriages in America end in divorce. I think those numbers are skewed by the multi-divorce.
The serial divorces. You know,
yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having different segments of your life. And I can understand how that happens. I just personally like to go with the one marriage and stick to it and till death do us part. And I remember Father Grassi said our wedding, and he talked about like the eternal nature of love and, you know, talked about how you're together and, you know, if your love is strong enough, you'll be together and all this. And my buddy came up to me and said, "Great. I thought I had a life sentence. Now I find it's through eternity."
That's the takeaway.
There's always somebody.
Yeah, there,
always somebody.
That's not what I heard, but okay. Good for
you.
To not
look on the bright side. Yeah. What are you going to do? All right. I'm out of here, Brian. I will be in Paris if you need me, and you know where to find me. I've given you my contact information with Henri at the hostel I'm staying at.
Get up to Montmartre.
Is that right?
Yeah. Watch the lights come up. Go up to the cathedral up there.
Sounds good.
You've never done that?
You know what? I've been to Paris a couple times, and I couldn't tell you what we did, to be honest with you.
Get up there. You'll enjoy it.
We were running around. But I'm looking forward to seeing it and to experiencing it with the whole crew, and it should be a much clearer and a less foggy environment this time around. But you will be back, and I will be back in a little while, and we shall return. I want to thank everyone for calling, texting, emailing. Most of all, thank you for listening. It means a lot to us that you listen.
Each and every day, we don't take it for granted, and Jed Hoyer is going to join the midday show straight up at the start of the show, so stay tuned for that. You got Connor McKnight and our guy Rich Campbell's in, too. So there's going to be lots of great football conversation, Cubs conversation. And thank you. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning. Barry Rosner sitting in for Mike. Mike, have a great remainder of the vacation. Thanks for being with us in the last 5 days while in London and doing double duty. It's been fun.
And thanks to everyone at CBS News Operation here in Chiswick Park, an unbelievable group, and Patrick and Diana and all the people that were so kind to me. Really appreciate that. And it's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.